Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
The fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
Twenty-four hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 It's the Benny Randall Show.
I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, I'm humbled that you allow me into your heart and your homes. You know how you can reach out to me, right? You can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com. Or if you want to be part of my private community, you can go to BennyOnDemand.com. All right? And like always, we have another powerful show, but this is an extraordinary two-part series because I got nothing but champions in the house today, okay? And when I tell you I got champions, I got champions. And here's the beautiful thing about it: all these champions are women today. Yeah, that's how I like it. You know what I mean? Beautiful, smart, intelligent, powerful women. So get your pens out, get your papers, get your latte, because you're going to have to take notes. You hear what I'm saying? We got so many women. I'm going to just give each and every one of them their own segment. They are all part of this powerful book called Champions Never Tell. We're going to start it off with Christy Rutherford. She is the president of Live Up Leadership. She's an executive leadership coach, trainer, keynote speaker, best-selling author. Christy published 5, you hear me? Not 4, 5 best-selling books on Amazon in 8 months. Christy was the 13th African-American woman to achieve the rank of commander in the Coast Guard in 225-year history. Wow. Where her demographics was only 0.1%. A Harvard Business School alum from the Program of Leadership Development, her national recognition includes Cambridge, who's who among executives and professionals, career, communications, STEM, technology, all-star, and the Edward R. Williams Award for Excellence in Diversity. And that was just the first person. Go figure. Also on the line, we have Jill Jordan Green, who is the CEO of the People's Resource Group, a change management, HR consulting, leadership, and development firm. She gained her 15-year HR expertise working for some of the country's top Fortune 500 companies in the restaurant, hospitality, and entertainment industries, in roles ranging from recruiter, vice president of human resources, and chief people officer. She has been recognized in her industry by receiving the Most Powerful and Influential Women of Louisiana Award, a Woman of the Year nominee award, and Workforce Magazine Game Changer Award, and the top 20 people to know in HR. I don't even know why we even got to talk no more. The show is over. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We appreciate you. No, I'm just joking. Christy, Jill, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
We're excited to be on this interview with you.
Oh, excellent. Jill, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited and honored to be in the virtual studio this morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both of you are part of this wonderful masterpiece, is what I like to call it. It's a masterpiece called... Hello?
We're here.
Champions?
Mm-hmm.
Never Tell.
We're here.
Right?
Yep.
Give us a little insight, each one of you, before I dive into your contribution to this beautiful masterpiece. Starting with Christy, give us a little insight of how Champions Never Tell came to be.
Champions Never Tell came to be... Actually, I had some experiences at Harvard Business School, which were awesome, but I was challenged the last time I was there in July. But what I noticed was my responses to the, we call them microaggressions or the petty slights and annoyances, they didn't bother me as much as they would have 5 years earlier. And so I saw how much growth and how much healing could change your response and your reaction to when people just say nasty things. And I came back and I started doing Facebook Live. And after doing the Facebook Lives, Jill saw me on the Facebook Lives. She interviewed me and we started talking about it. And so I shared some of the challenges that I had in my career. And then she shared a story that she had never told anybody from her career. Mm. And later that, it was a week or two, she said, "Hey, God put it in my heart that we should write a book." And that's how the book came about.
Wow, that's very powerful. Now, just Jill, before we get deep into you, just a little insight to piggyback on that. So God put this in your heart that you guys should write a book?
Absolutely. So when I had the pleasure of interviewing Christy on my radio show, during the interview, I was captivated by her story and the hardship that she experienced at work. And then there was a line that she said. She said, "Well, you know, champions, they never tell." Because I said, "Did you tell anybody? What was the response?" And when she said champions never tell, that resonated with me because champion / superwoman syndrome / got it all together syndrome, right? It's something that a lot of us women wear, especially African-American women. And when she said that, it unlocked something in me. And I said, "She's right, because I haven't told my story either." And that's when I came to a couple days later and said, "Listen, it's on my heart. We got to write a book called Champions Never Tell."
I know how it is sometimes when you're talking to awesome people. They say things like, I only been talking to both of you right now for the last 5 minutes, and already I've gotten two nuggets that I just wrote down. Well, I'll inform you at another time that something that you guys just said that is incredible. But this is about Champions Never Tell right now. So, Christy, what was the most important problem that taught you the most important lesson about what you went through?
I think the greatest challenge was, after burning out of my career and resigning 3.5 years left to retire, I kept focusing on the stress and not managing the stress or not managing the anxiety and not managing these things. But the root cause was I didn't do it for my entire career. So it wasn't just something that happened over a 2-year period. I didn't manage the comments very well when somebody disrespected me. I was carrying that baggage and that luggage and those scars and that pain and all these things that happened to me over a lifetime and over really my career. And that's what created a situation that I had to end up exiting my career. And so to go and have those experiences that I talked about in July, when somebody would say something, it wouldn't bother me, because I've learned that what people say about me is not necessarily about me, it's about them. And if you disrespect me, I have the power to keep my power. I have the ability to keep my peace, because if I lose my peace because you disrespected me, now I've created an issue for myself, as opposed to just holding my peace and smiling at people. That was the biggest lesson for me. And I think that's what I really want to share with women. So Champions Never Tell isn't necessarily a book about our stories. It's a book about how can we self-care while we're waiting for our organization to do something, while we're waiting for people to stop disrespecting us, while we're waiting for our leaders to protect us from people who are harassing us. What are you doing for yourself? That's really what Champions Never Tell is about. How can you keep your peace? How can you keep your joy? How can you not be unhealthy because you can't manage what people are saying to you and doing for you or doing to you? And if you're having challenges, you can leave. So we're giving women permission to take care of themselves in this book.
That is very powerful, and I want to piggyback on that. And I want to ask you, how did you not jump off the cliff?
Which cliff?
That cliff. I know there probably was a lot of cliffs, but that cliff that sometimes people can never return from. How did you not jump off that cliff? Because you just stated that, you know, this masterpiece here, Champions Never Tell, is about allowing women to have self-care, allowing women to regain their power. So my question to you is, how did you not totally lose yours? How did you not jump off whichever cliff you could have jumped off?
For me, I got a lot of massages. I thought that I was doing the right thing, but in some ways, I did jump off the cliff when I decided to walk away from my six-figure career and everything and everybody that I knew. But I had two decisions to make. Either I was going to walk away or I was going to die, because I was caught up in this facade. You know, I was the 13th black woman to make commander, so I was woven into the fabric of my organization. And sometimes people we get ourselves on a pedestal and people put us on a pedestal, and the expectations to stay there for the people, the expectations to stay there for the women, and the expectations to stay there for the African Americans. So I remember calling my friend one day. I was so miserable. And I said, I'm thinking about retiring in 20 as opposed to staying for, you know, 20, 30 years. And he said, you can't do that. You're the one for us. You know, you're the model. And I said, dude, you left 10 years ago. Now you're married with 4 kids and you're a doctor. You lived your dream. He said, yeah, but you're supposed to sacrifice your life for the cause.
Very, very powerful. And that's very impactful. And I guess that alluded to what I was saying is, like you said, if you didn't leave, you would die. My question to you, how did you not die? And why are you still here?
I didn't die because I made the decision not to. And it was tough. And I took really 3.5 years after that to recover. I was almost dead. I probably had 5% left. So I walked away depleted and just exhausted from what life had done to me.
Christy, let me interject in here because I want to get to the heart of where I'm going with this. Did you love yourself or did you love the other people more?
You know, I got to the decision that I love myself more than the other people and the cause and the illusion that everybody thought I was. Mm.
You refer to it as an illusion. Why is that?
Because when you're a leader and you're a champion, you're the hero for everyone else. You're everyone else's hero. You're everyone else's model. And then you become this facade and this person outside of yourself, and people really love that person and they celebrate that person, but we're also human. So leaders, great leaders, and people who have the money and the title and the position and all these things, we're not allowed to be human. So people will hold you hostage to an illusion.
Wow.
And not see the human who's suffering.
Wow, that's very powerful. Christy, it's just me, you, Jill, and a few million people. So I want to ask you this question right here. When it came to recognizing it was time to move on, how did you do that? And the reason why I ask you, because there are some women right now who are listening to this program who've been led to it, because I believe you attract things into your life depending on where you are. And they may feel trapped and feel still trapped. What is the first step that they need to do to begin the process of healing? Because that's what this masterpiece is all about, the healing process.
I think the first thing is to look in the mirror and admit that you got something going on that you need to address. Mm. And you can't change if you won't admit that you're miserable and that you're dying and that you're and that there are a lot of stuff going on. So I had to look in the mirror and see my life for what it was. The external was great, but on the inside, I was dying. So am I going to continue to play this role and lie to myself and lie to others, or do I really know that I need to make a different decision? So you need to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I need to change or I'm going to die. Mm. And then understand that you have the power to change. And then take action regardless of whose feelings are going to be hurt. Because a lot of women stay and they die at their desk holding on to an illusion and a life that was not their own.
Wow, that's freaking awesome. Why champions never tell now? Why not last year? Why not 3 years ago? Why now?
Yeah, I wrote my first book last year, Shackled to Success, and that was my story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to write that book. I was driven by a higher power to write that book. And it was so much healing in sharing my story with the world. And I thought that I would die of shame for telling that story. I wanted to throw up 3 times before I hit publish. I didn't want to do it, but I had to in order to do, because I wanted the other book to come out, but I couldn't publish the other books to tell people how to heal unless I was willing to tell how broken I was. And that's something I never wanted to do. Champions never tell, but how can I be credible in a space to talk about healing if I'm not willing to talk about my brokenness? So that's the only book that I'd never talked about. And to have the stuff that was going on in July, it's still a conversation that I never had because I never talked about that book. If you look at all my posts, I never talked about that book because I never wanted to tell the story. But now coming back and not only being me, but 7 other women from 7 different industries and backgrounds, we share a lot of the same commonalities with regards to our health and how we manage situations. Now it's about the collective story, and it's coming right at a time where women are now speaking out about being harassed. So it's the timing is absolutely perfect.
Mm, you were going great transition to my next and final question for you, because we got so many amazing other women. We want to get to this story, but I don't watch a lot of TV, so unless it's like Shark Tank you know, the profit. That's about only unless it's about business. But these notifications on my wonderful iPhone give me a peek into what things that are going on. And this is hashtag me too, with all these women that are beginning to stand up for all these different harassments, whether it's sexual harassment, whether it's racial harassment, whatever it is, everybody is beginning to speak out. But yet it's been going on for years and years. And even in the context of how and what you went through, you know, it's an amazing story. Do you think a lot of times, because the business industry is so male dominated, there is a unwritten word that, well, this is just how it works. You either deal with it or you get out.
There is unwritten rules, and although there are laws that are supposed to protect people from harassment, there's so much ambiguity around it where you're being harassed. If I tell, it's over. Everybody knows that. No matter if you're, you know, in the film industry with the women who talked about Harvey Weinstein, you had the Uber CEO that had engineers killing themselves, and sexual harassment was pervasive in his organization, and also in Silicon Valley. You know, people who work in the federal government, Jill, who was working in the corporate world, if we tell, now you're going to have retaliation, what protections do you have in place? And yeah, you have laws, but we don't want to be a victim. So even when I wrote my first book, and my friends, you know, my organization is mostly white men, so I have a lot of white male friends. Mm-hmm. They read the book and they said, Chris, you never told us. Well, I didn't want to sound like I was complaining. So Now it's time that women are rising against this isn't right, but still there's a risk, because even though some of the women were talking about what happened with Harvey Weinstein, they were being judged by other people. So this is why women don't tell. And there comes a point where it's not necessarily about, it's about sharing the information, but it's also about telling the story so you can heal yourself. And that's what this is about. And maybe those women, and I'm sure that once they came out, once one person says something, then the floodgates are open and all the other people come out. But it takes that one person to have the courage to say, this is what happened to me.
Well, the beauty of Champions Never Tell, you got about 7 or 8 women that have the courage to say something. And then that's extremely powerful. Christy, thank you for being here on the Benny Randall Show. We got like so many other champions that we're going to talk to today, and I appreciate you being here. Your final word?
My final words are, grab a copy of the book, absorb the information, share the stories, heal yourself, do the work that's in the appendix, and connect with us on social media and on Facebook, and we look forward to having events and retreats in the future. But really, we just want to share our stories, share our hearts, in an effort to heal women around the world who are suffering in silence.
Absolutely outstanding. Stick around. May need to come back to you. Just in case you're joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we'll be right back after this short break.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Coney Island has been around for a long, long time. Reminds me of how Geico has been saving people money for over 75 years.
First date? Hey, big guy. Come on in. Let me guess your weight. Win a prize.
Sure. Why not?
12 ounces?
Sorry, mate. 4 ounces. I've been taking the stairs lately.
You win, big guy.
Sorry. Excuse me.
Wow. You look so much more real on TV.
Yeah.
Over 75 years of savings and service. Get your rate quote today.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Good evening and welcome back. You're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator, right here on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio worldwide. We're having an awesome conversation with some champions today. We just got finished speaking to Christy Rutherford. And now we're going to bring in another champion. Her name is Jill Jordan Green, and she's the CEO of the People's Resource Group. Jill, I just heard an amazing, amazing story from Christy. Tell us about your story. Give us a little insight on why you felt compelled to be part of this amazing masterpiece.
Absolutely. Well, like I said earlier, when Christy, when I had the chance of interviewing her on my radio show, and when she made the statement, champions never tell, I had one of those moments, you know, where the clouds begin to part and the sun comes through and you hear somebody singing like angels, and it was saying, Jill, it's your story too. Jill, it's your time to tell your story. Because a lot of us, especially high-achieving women who've achieved a certain status in their lane, whether it be corporate America or the military or in education, you feel like you are a superwoman because the world says you are. They expect that of you. And when you're a superwoman, you don't tell. You suck it up. You move forward. And that's killing us. It's killing us. We are overstressed. We're overworked. Suicide is increasing among the ages of 35 and 45 for women, especially black women. It's killing us. So when she gave me the key to unlock my madness with Champions Never Tell, I knew it was time to not just tell my story, but help create a tool to help other women tell their story and heal themselves.
So, let me ask this you this, Jill. Let me interject here for a second. Were you ever going to tell? Did you have a moment where you were going to tell, or were you going to just die with it?
I never would have, to be honest with you. It didn't dawn on me, too. Now, I have other, obviously, challenges in my life that I share, but I never would have shared the workplace challenges. Mm. I never would have. It didn't dawn on me to give that a voice. It didn't dawn on me that I was being bullied in my own situations. It didn't dawn on me. And so it was helpful for me. It was helpful for me to tell the story.
Wow. So let me ask you something. When you were going through your turmoil, did you feel alone?
I did.
What was your support?
I did feel alone. I felt very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me felt guilty. You know, people, you know, would look and say, well, you have a big six-figure job, company car, company credit card account, company corner office. Like, you have all the trimming that look like you should be okay. So what are you whining about? So I did feel lonely. I didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to, and I didn't feel like anybody cared. Because remember, we're talking about microaggression incidents. We're talking about small things that happen over a period of time that accumulate into, you know, a greater tragedy. So I did feel alone. I felt very isolated.
Did you not have anyone that you felt confident enough that you could vent to or that you can actually talk to? And what about those women who may be listening to this story and they're in that same circumstance where they feel they don't have anyone to go to, not even the closest of the closest relatives? What are they supposed to do?
That's a really great question. You know, my recommendation, I tell everyone to have a mentor, but someone outside of the organization. You know, I did trust someone initially inside the organization. He was a senior officer who looked like me, who said I could trust him. And that didn't turn out to be the case for me. To be honest, I didn't write about this in the book, but he actually went back to the person that was delivering the abuse to me and told them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a disaster. So I do recommend that people have a mentor, someone outside the organization who understands. Because a lot of times, your family won't understand. If they are not at that level or have experienced, you know, similar workplace situations, they'll be there for comfort, but they won't really understand. So I'd say get a mentor outside the organization.
Wow, that is deep. He infiltrated your emotions. He infiltrated your trust. Did that make you clam up from that point? Did that cause you to go even deeper into your shell?
It did. It created even more isolation. And it was a bruise. It was a wound. When I started the organization, this person referred to me as their little sister. You know, he was one of our presidents. And I looked up to him, and he was very helpful in a lot of ways. But he also had a relationship with the person that I was having the challenge with. And I guess that relationship superseded. And as I look back, I'm thinking, maybe he thought he was helping. Maybe he thought by sharing it would facilitate some discussion, but it made the situation a lot worse.
Or maybe he was playing a double agent.
Well, yes, that clearly is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it damaged me. It made things worse.
So let me ask you this question. If you could say one thing to him right now, you don't have to say his name or whatever, but if you can say one thing to him right now for what he did, what would you say?
I would say two things. The first thing is, I forgive you.
Mm. Wow. That's deep. Go ahead.
Because,
and why do you forgive him?
To your own healing. Because, you know, I need to, for me. That's the key to my healing and releasing and moving forward. You know, he had his reasons. I don't think, you know, he wanted to see the death of me from a career standpoint, but I did think he made a bad decision. So the first thing is I forgive you. The second thing I would say is be more responsible. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. And when God opens up doors for you and places you in certain situations, it's to help other people. You have other people's careers in your hands. And so you got to be careful how you handle that, because a lot of times we have the gift and the ability to give life or take it. And I'm talking about from a career standpoint. And so he mishandled that situation. So the first thing I'd say is, I forgive you. And the second thing I would say is, be more responsible.
Wow. See, that shows your growth. That also shows your power. That also shows that you've taken ownership for what you went through, but you didn't let it destroy you. How can women who are going through the same thing, Jill, not allow it to destroy you? You and Christy and all these other women who are in this masterpiece have not been destroyed. In fact, you've been cleaned up and you're shining like the diamonds that you are. How does that woman who's listening to this show, because I can guarantee you the way the universe works, when you need it, it will show up. And someone's listening to you right now. What do you say to them?
Refuse to be the victim. See, when you refuse to be the victim, you are in control. I'm in charge if I forgive or not. I'm in charge if I move on. I have to make the decision. It doesn't mean I don't bleed and I didn't hurt, because I did. But I decided to release him, forgive him, and move on. So to any woman on the line today who's experienced any type of challenge at work or outside, don't be the victim. When you're a victim, it means there's nothing you can do. You have to passively wait for something to happen. But when you are not the victim and you are in control, you seek out your own healing. You get a great network of people that can support you and push you and pour into you. You get your own affirmations to start saying them every single day. I mean, I can go on and on, but I am not a victim, and neither is any other woman in this book. And that's the message I want women to hear today. You're not a victim, but it means you got to get up and do something on your own behalf.
That was awesome. What one thing I know about the universe is that God didn't give anybody authorization to have power over you. You have to authorize that power. What was the wake up moment that you stopped authorizing that power and pain that was coming upon you going through this situation? What was that wake up moment? What was that moment when you said, enough is enough?
You know, I woke up one morning and my hair was falling out.
Wow.
And I was throwing up on the way to work. Just sick because of some of the stuff I was going through. And when I arrived in the parking lot, I looked in the mirror and said, you know what? You have options. I just started speaking to that woman I saw in the mirror. You are more than enough. you a bad chick. There's nobody like you. I began to affirm myself and said, you don't have to be here. Then I pulled out my resume. I said, let me check out who this chick is. Hold on. Wait a minute. I've done a few things. You know what? I'm all right. And in that moment, I said, I have options. I don't have to do this every day. I don't have to do it this way every day. And I got the courage to leave. And that is the moment when things began to change in my life.
Wow.
I just said, I have options. I discovered my value. And I acted on it.
Very hallelujah. As Tyler Perry would say, yeah, Madea. You know why I ask that question is because everybody has that moment, and I always try to encourage people to always live in the moment because that's the only place where you can get the gifts. So that's why I ask that question, because too many people live in the past and too many people try to live in the future, but it's that moment that's very powerful. And what you said is in that moment, you receive that gift of self-awareness. It took you to recognize it because that moment was already there. So my question to you is, did it take your hair falling out? Did it take your throwing up? And how can people, nobody, no two journeys are the same, but how can people get to that moment maybe a little quicker than you did?
A little faster, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it did take me to get to that point because I was superwoman and I was seeing myself through the wrong lens. If I'd have been honest with myself in the beginning, and I think that's the answer here. We have to be honest with ourselves every day. If we are, you won't get to the place where you're throwing up, because on day one, when someone shows you they don't value you, you'll say, hold up. I'm not being valued. This doesn't feel right. Wait a minute. That was disrespectful. Hold on. This isn't healthy for me. But I wasn't being honest or authentic with myself. And so I suffered for years when it could have been weeks. So the answer is being authentic and honest with yourself. And that is so hard to do. But when you are, you can make choices about that.
Very, very powerful. You know, like when I'm doing these interviews and I'm in the studio, I often have my eyes closed while I'm speaking to people because I want to go in that moment with you. I want to feel what it feels like. So hopefully I can transcend that energy into those that are listening. And when you spoke about looking in that mirror and it only being you, just you and God, that's all it was in that moment. And you recognize how powerful you were. You recognize how a masterpiece he had already created you. And that is what is absolutely important, and I think, in this message. So going forward, women who may be in that same situation right now, right in this moment, and they are listening to this interview, what do you have to say to them? What can you say to them, or does it just have to happen where they have that awareness of themselves?
I would say trust yourself. And the lessons we teach in the book are applicable to other areas of your life, not just at work. But I would say trust yourself, because your spirit, you know, whatever spirit you allow to speak to you, is speaking at all times. And I didn't trust myself. I didn't listen to that voice that said, this isn't good. That said, that person doesn't mean well. So my message is to trust that voice that's inside. She will tell you. She will wake you up. But we got to listen. We get so busy. We're so busy. We're so enamored by things that don't matter that we miss that voice.
Wow. That's amazing, man. Christy, Jill, this has been an extraordinary experience, and we're going to move on to some more extraordinary women. And your final words, Jill. I could talk to you guys for at least the next 8 hours or so, but we ain't got that much time.
My final words would be to get this tool that we've created to help women find their voice all across this country. And if you don't need it, give it for somebody who does, because one day you just might.
See, I don't care what none of them say. They say tool. I call it a masterpiece. It's a reference guide for the world. Mm-hmm. It's a reference guide because, you know, not only is this just a story, it's an experience that you're sharing with the world. And it takes powerful women like yourself, like Christy, like all the other women that are inside this body of work to help serve others. And the fact that each one of you survived is a fact right there that this story was supposed to be told. And that is a great contribution to the world. And I tell people, when you contribute something that will live beyond you, when you're gone, this book will still be here. See, that's contribution. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. It has nothing to do with all the toys, because there is never a U-Haul behind a hearse. So the only thing that's going to live is what you powerful women, you champions, Christy, Jill, Ronetta, Jade, Miss Nelson. I don't know if I missed anybody, but it's an incredible contribution to the universe. And I just want you to, I want to thank you, all of you, for allowing me to be part of this powerful experience by coming on the show and sharing it with a few of my million of friends. And I appreciate that. How can people learn more about you and this book?
Thank you for allowing me to be a part. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Jill, how can people learn more about you and this masterpiece? How can they reach out to you if they wanted to say hello, whatever it may be? Well, how could they do that?
Yes, they can. They can follow me on social media at Jill Jordan Green. Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, Jill Jordan Green. Jill has one L and Green has an E, or they can go to thepeopleresourcegroup.com, and they can learn more about me and follow me and participate in all the things I have going on.
Absolutely. Christy, are you still in the house?
Of course.
You are quiet as a mouse. Go ahead.
Now, as I was listening to Jill's interview, getting pumped up, it was really good.
There it is. So we're going to move on to some more champions, ladies, and I appreciate both of you being here. Do come back anytime that you feel you need to.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, live here on Bashani Radio and iHeartRadio worldwide, and we'll be right back with another champion.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome.
You've made iHeartRadio the fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
Good evening and welcome back to the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we're broadcasting live here on Bashani Radio and iHeartRadio worldwide. You've just heard two extraordinary women, Christy Rutherford and Miss Jill. And now we're talking to another champion. Her name is Ronetta J. Francis. Is an employment attorney with over 23 years experience with the federal government, the EEOC, and more recently, the Vice President of U.S. Ethics and Employment Compliance. She's a motivational speaker and leadership coach and the CEO of the Francis Dynamics Consulting Group. Ronetta is an active member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, and her community involvement supports local organizations such as the Samaritan Center, the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter, as well as the National Alliance on Mental Illness and Alzheimer's Association on a national level. Miss Ronetta, how are you doing today?
I am very well, Benny. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for giving us some of your valuable time. Champion never tell, as I've spoken to the other champions on this episode, and we're going to just keep it rolling. It's an extraordinary masterpiece body of work. Why did you feel the need to be involved in this and tell your story and share your story with the world?
Benny, that's a great story. It was probably one of the easiest decisions I've ever had to make as it relates to how to invest my time in a particular project. I felt it was important to share these stories to provide a light and an avenue for women and others who are in the workforce who are experiencing toxic, hostile, and otherwise negative work environments in silence. They too often, as relates to my own personal experience and experiences of others and other colleagues, the thought and the feel is that they can't reveal, can't talk about what's happening to them for fear of a variety of things, including whether or not their careers will be stalled, if people will believe them or not, and if any action will be taken. And so to provide a book, a tool that not only alerts people to the fact that they are not alone as it relates to what they're going through or what they've been through, that they're not a unicorn in this particular instance, it gets that secret out in the open, but it's more than just, you know, opening the closet doors and sharing bad experiences. The most impactful part of this project is the tools and strategies that we share with the readers that are tried and true. And I say tried and true because we've all gone through them, we've all utilized them, and they have assisted us in ushering through and working our way through some of the bad experiences that we've had and had to encounter in our professional lives. And hopefully, as a result of that, folks who read the book, who utilize the strategies that are outlined, they will develop that muscle memory as it relates to how to respond to events in the future so that they don't have to continue to go through these bad experiences, to suffer in silence, and that they know that there are avenues for them to follow. There are recourses, there are remedies, there are options for them to protect themselves and to reinforce the positivity and the awesomeness who they are, so that they don't feel that they have to suffer in silence or suffer at all. So hopefully it will empower people to address whatever issues they may be going through. It may provide some healing for folks who have been through a horrible experience and are still holding on to it and haven't yet let it go and haven't yet moved beyond it. There are some exercises and strategies in moving beyond that to provide healing as well. So I just think it was just such a powerful tool, so needed, and the timing of it is serendipitous. It's divine. You know, as you see across the social and cultural landscape right now, what's happening? People are empowered now to share what's happening in the workplace. They're going back 20, 30 years about negative experiences to share. Because now they feel they can step out of the darkness, step out of the shadows, and say, this happened to me, it wasn't right, it shouldn't have happened, and there should be something done about it.
Wow, that's absolutely powerful. You know, Renetta, I was just waiting when you was going to let me talk again, so I'm just joking.
You did note in my bio that I've been a lawyer for 23 years, so you have to be extremely careful when you give a lawyer a microphone.
I love it. I'm just teasing you. So let me ask you this question, Renetta. Take us to that moment when you was going through the most powerful experience of this moment, when you was at that low point and you knew this was the day I need to get out. Take us there for a moment.
Well, my personal experience that took me to my lowest, unfortunately, didn't lead me to the conclusion that I needed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my experience, people will identify with that, even though they feel they're at their lowest, they also feel like they can't move on. They can't get out of it. And that was my personal experience. I encountered a situation in which I was going through a negative environment early in my career during an internship, and it was at that point when I realized that I was not being respected, not being valued, being treated differently than my colleagues solely because of the color of my skin.
Mm.
And even though that was the lowest I had felt at that point, I felt, I still have to come to work. I got to make this money. I got to pay these bills. And so even though I knew that it wasn't right, that somebody needed to do something, I felt as if I had no voice. I felt as if I spoke up, that it would limit my professional career before it even began. And so at that point in my life, I didn't have the tools, the skills, the competencies to know what to do and how to do it. And that's what I hope this book will provide for others, so that they don't have to go through a period of time struggling with the fact that I've got to make this paycheck, I've got to get this salary. Because what I learned as a result of that, and after I came through it, that I would never ever again be in a situation, have a job, work for a company or organization where I felt that way again. So it didn't allow me to escape or get out of that situation, but it had a defining moment on what I was going to do with my professional life after that, how I was going to select future employment, what kind of work environment would I allow myself to be in.
Now you
so
spoke
it had a dramatic impact on that.
Now you spoke of it didn't inform you that you needed to get out of this. So you move past it and beyond it. When you say it didn't inform you that you needed to get out of this, were you saying that the issue happened in a certain environment, but it didn't necessarily need you to get out of your industry? Or give me a little clarification on that.
So when I said it didn't lead me to get out of that situation, I'm talking specifically about that job. I never left the industry. It was just that particular work, you know, that particular company
environment
that
okay,
I was working
okay.
for. Mm-hmm. And I felt as if I should leave. I, you know, from a moral standpoint and how I felt emotionally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
But from a financial standpoint and rationally, I'm thinking rationally, I've got to make these bills. I've got to pay tuition. I've got to pay rent and buy groceries. And so I traded on that. I traded on my dignity for groceries. I
wow.
traded on, you know, my, you know, human, you know, humanness to pay rent.
Do you think
I felt as if yes.
Go, I'm sorry. Do you, cuz there's so much I want to ask you in such a short period of time. But do you think, is that what binds a lot of women that are in that type of situation, is the financial liability to themselves and their family, that they just gonna have to take it because they need that paycheck?
Oh, absolutely. It is a significant motivator, and not just for employment issues, but for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
People stay in marriages for financial reasons. People stay in very dire situations because they believe that they have to because of the money, because of the fear of financial instability.
Mm.
But what people who have gone through that will tell you is that you will get through it. It might be scary at first, and you might have to make some sacrifices, but it's not going to kill you, and you will feel better about yourself as a person, as an individual, as a professional, when you stand up for yourself, advocate for yourself, and put an end to the mistreatment.
Wow. So women who might be listening to it, it's just me, you, Jade, and all these champions, and just a few million of my friends, That's all. Just a few million. It's no biggie. What would you tell that woman who's listening to this program right now, who may be in the same situation you were in, and they are ready to get out today? What do they need to do?
Well, I think the main thing is to make a plan. If you're ready to get out today, make a plan. What does that look like? Well, that varies from person to person. But that plan could be, I want to report this behavior to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or get a lawyer to sue this company for the behavior for which I've been subjected to. It could be that getting out just simply means leaving.
Wow. So let me ask you something.
But if you're in a spot where you feel like you need to leave and people feel trapped, what makes you feel better about leaving is having a plan, mm-hmm. instead of just jumping out, right? So make a plan. Work your plan. Protect yourself. You will feel more empowered just by writing the plan down, just by looking at it on paper. That will continue to give you the strength that you need and the energy and the motivation to actually execute it.
Now, you spoke of the EEOC and you know, the organizations that people can. Why do people not go to those things more quicker? And is it a sense of, you know, just saying what you went through? Do you feel like they will not be able to help you in the immediate circumstances, or it's not worth it?
Well, you know, it depends. I think primarily people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think fear is a driver. They're afraid that if they bring this to the attention of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that their bosses or their company, particularly if you're still working with the company,
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of personal fortitude to file a charge of discrimination against the company in which you're currently working, because when they begin their investigation, they're going to be investigating everything that you said while you're still working there. And if you thought things were tense before, hold on, because the heat just gets hotter, right? And so if you're not prepared to deal with that and the scrutiny that will come with it, that is a barrier for some people to go to the EEOC. Now, the laws do protect against retaliation, and so the one, you know, beautiful blessing about if you do go and you report, if anything does happen to you, if you get fired, if you get demoted, if you get transferred to some undesirable position, then that action in and of itself is another reason, it's another violation of federal employment laws, and the company will be digging itself into a bigger hole, actually, if they engage in that type of retaliatory behavior. But you ask what holds people from going back, it's primarily fear. And sometimes they're not even sure if what they've experienced is a violation of the law or not. No one wants to be seen as, or known as, a whiner or a complainer. And so many times, because they don't know that other people have and are going through the same thing, they think it's just happening to them. So they're not going to be the ones to, you know, pull back the curtain and say, this is what's happening. They're going to do their best to suck it up, and if everyone else is doing okay, then I need to be doing okay as well.
Very
powerful. What they don't know is that they're probably experiencing the same thing that others are. And once you start the ball rolling, then others will say, yes, it happened to me. Yes, it happened to me. You see this social media campaign, #MeToo. It has empowered people, not just in the entertainment field, but in sports and in other areas, to say, this happened to me as well. I now feel empowered to say something about it. There's strength in numbers.
Powerful. Ronetta, it's an extraordinary story, as I'm hearing from all you champions. What I want to ask you, you spoke about fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's how most people mm-hmm. like to look at it, but a lot of people don't. Give my listeners two nuggets they can use in the next 24 hours to get beyond the fear of getting out and getting help.
Two nuggets to address the fear. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would say is if you're not using positive affirmations in your daily life, mm-hmm. start doing so now. That's something you can do right now. Speak positivity into your life so that you can reignite your sense of self-value, your sense of worth, so that you will appreciate for yourself that you're worth it. You are worth fighting for. So that would be the first thing. Recognize within yourself that you are worth fighting for. And then second, what does that fight look like? Does that look like, for you, registering a complaint with your company, putting your company on notice of this behavior, or looking for alternate employment somewhere else, but feeling empowered that you're going to be okay? And the one thing for me that has always been a saving grace is that, and this is just me personally because of my faith, is that each job I have has just been a resource for me. My source is the Lord. And so if he provided this one resource, this one job, then he'll provide another. And so you don't have to feel like you're handcuffed to one particular resource out of fear that another one will not be made available to you. It certainly will. It certainly will.
Very, very powerful in the immortal words of Madea. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something, Roy. This has been an extraordinary, I wish we definitely need more time. Let me ask you this. Your contribution to the world, your legacy, what do you want that to be? And the second part of that question is, why champions never tell, and why now that you decided to share?
What I hope my legacy to be is that I helped to protect people, uplift people, inspire people, and motivate people. I have a strong sense of altruism, giving back. And if anyone, she helped others. If that's the last thing anyone ever said about me, she helped others, I would feel that was a very powerful legacy to leave behind in whatever capacity it may be. Why now?
Mm-hmm.
This opportunity presented itself in a time. It was perfect timing. I didn't look for it. It came to me. I was open, and the message was right on point. It spoke to my heart. I knew it was an important message. I knew that there were people out there hurting because of experiences that they are having in the workplace and feeling isolated and feeling alone. And if there was any way that I could contribute to a project that would help someone get past that, then there was no doubt that I would participate.
Extraordinary. And your final words, and if people want to learn more about you, how can they reach out to you?
Absolutely. I am branching out, and as you mentioned, CEO of Francis Dynamics Consulting Group. Folks can go to the website. It's still in its nascent stages, so give me a little bit, but it's francisdynamics.com.
Mm-hmm. And you have, they can reach out to you.
And then they can reach out to me through the website, yes.
Absolutely. Just a side note, you sure you're not related to me because you talk more than I do, and I'm just trying to figure out how that happened.
Maybe that means I need a radio show as well. How about that?
Going with your bad self. That's always the powerful way. Like, you know what I mean? I talk so much. It's weird to come up with people who talk as much as I do. I was like, is she going to let me ask a question, or is she just going to keep on talking?
I'm so sorry. But it's a professional hazard. I
venture. Okay. I'm just teasing you. I'm just okay.
No. I'm good with it.
Absolutely. Your final words, Ronetta?
My final words would be, if folks are experiencing problems or challenges in the workforce, take a moment, assess the situation, find out if it's something that you need to put a stop to right now, either through reporting it to your company, reporting it outside, assess whether or not you are trading on that experience, trading on your own self-worth for the value of a dollar, and decide whether or not it's worth it. And if you decide to stay, be intentional, unapologetic about it. You be in charge of your destiny and don't hand over that power to anyone else.
Very, very powerful. If you're just joining us, you are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we'll be right back with another champion who never tells. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. We'll be right back after this message.
Yeah. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We Global. BashaniRadio.com. New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
Welcome back. We got another champion in the house, man. This has been an extraordinary hour, man, with Champions Never Tell. I mean, I'm inspired just listening to these women. Our next champion is Jade Brown Russell, the principal. Hold up, Jade. Look, Jade, ready to go, people. Y'all hear that? I just said her name. She was like, what's up? Good morning. Jade Brown Russell is the principal of JD Russell Consulting LLC, a full service firm focusing on regulatory compliance, legal counsel, business solutions, governmental relations, and strategic planning. Jade has been named to both Orleans Parish DA Leon, I'm gonna chop up this last name, Canazora, and New Orleans Mayor Mitch. Man, I should have practiced these names before I got here. I'm sorry. I keep it real on the Benny Randall Show. I'll be seeing this. I'm going to just say Landrieu's transition teams. Uh-huh. And most recently was appointed the chair of the mayor of Tricentro Community Engagement Committee. In 2013 and 2008, Jay was honored by New Orleans City Business Women of the Year, and in 2009 and 2011 she received the Urban League's Rising Star Award for her professional and civic accomplishments. She's in Howard University and Southern University Law Center graduate. Wow. Jade, thank you for being to the Benny Randall Show. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And look, don't feel bad. You know, New Orleans names, everybody chops up New Orleans names.
Man, I be chopping up people's names. It ain't even funny. They have to come back and be like, that wasn't me you were talking about. I was like, well, it was close.
Jay, got real close.
Yeah, I got to speak to some of the other champions. We had Christy. We had a couple other champions, and it's been a powerful experience. And what I want to get from this is, as we bring you on this platform, is that I want to know your moment. I want to know what kept you going through this experience. Yeah. And yeah. What was that kept you going through this experience that you went through?
You know, I think for all of us, you know, we all have just that thing inside of us, that grit. That continues to just push on us and tell us to keep going. You know, I come from educators, and so if you have the opportunity to read the book, which you should, everybody should go out and grab it. But if you have the opportunity to read the book, you'll see that my story is based in a corporate environment. And you know, I come from a background with my mom and my dad, my sister. Most of my family members are in education, so it was really a foreign land for me. But I will say this, the things that I learned, the lessons that I learned from right here in New Orleans, right where I was born and raised, from my parents, my grandparents, those were the lessons that kept me going. And you know, I'm rooted in faith, and so I know that, you know, I'm one of those folks who just knows whatever I do, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like, I just can't fail. And so because of that, that's the thing that keeps me going, right? When it feels bad, I just know somehow, you know, it's going to all work together for my good. So that's kind of what I keep in mind.
Very, very proud. So like I asked some of the other champions that have been on the show today, why now? Why did you decide now was the time for you to share this powerful experience?
Yeah, you know what? I think, and I'm one of those folks who I really beat myself up for not saying it when I should have said it.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, and I've told my story, maybe not on a larger, broader scale, but you know, as I mentor young attorneys who kind of are walking in the shoes that I have walked in, you know, I've shared my story with them. But you're right, it wasn't immediately out the gate, and I don't know if it was because I was somehow embarrassed about it or ashamed about it or whatever it is. But there was a point when I was mentoring two young ladies who happened to be in large firms here in New Orleans, and they were experiencing almost the same thing that I had experienced at the same time. They were in the same firm, and they didn't know because they weren't communicating with each other. And that, I think that for me was the moment where I knew, you know what, you have to begin to tell people not just the positives. They see you in so many positive lights, Jay, but you know, you got to start telling people the stories of some of your failures, of how you failed forward, and how you really came out of it. And so again, in helping them to realize that you really cannot fail. And so I think that is what caused me to start telling my story. But let me tell you what caused me to tell it in this book with so many phenomenal women, because these are some bad sisters who are in this book, who have really just kind of taken a stance and said, you know what, it is time for us to collectively tell our stories together, because we come from so many different backgrounds, and it just shows that this happens everywhere, right? This is not just, these are not insular events. You know, we want to share with women that, hey, this is not just you. You are not alone. And so I think that is what has prompted us and pushed us to collaborate on this project together.
Very, very powerful. Let me dive a little deeper here. Yeah, and all the champions, they are powerful, and as you would hear when you hear this all together, and it's extraordinary. Now, like I told all the rest of them, you know, I like to get deep into the mindset of what helped you get out of it, because I believe that this masterpiece is about healing more than it is just about a book. And and like I told the other champions, it's just me, you, and a few million of my friends that are listening right now. So what I want to ask you is, when you were going through it, and you had nobody to turn to, what kept you going? What kept you sane?
Yeah, you know what? I honestly can't say that I felt sane at the time.
Ooh.
Right? You feel like you are literally, you know, going to lose your mind. You know, there are times when you just feel like, I have no idea how I'm going to make it through, but you do, right? I will say this. I think I've always surrounded myself with people who have encouraged me, whether they knew it or not. And I think that has been very, very important. And let me say this. When I was in that environment, I was getting these little nuggets of wisdom along the way that I didn't even know that I was collecting, but I was, right? The very first day of my professional career, one of my mentors, he told me, you know, this stuff is important, but it's not that important, right? Like, he emphasized, like, everything is important, I get it, but realize that it's not, the things that go on here in this firm, it's not that important, right? Meaning you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta take care of your family. You have to take care of yourself mentally, physically, spiritually. Mm-hmm. All of those things are the things that are important. And so I think what helped me when I felt like I didn't have others to lean on, when I felt like I wasn't comfortable enough with telling and sharing with people what I was going through, because I really didn't. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell any of my friends. I just kind of toughed it out, right? And I think it was just those little nuggets of wisdom that God was just so good enough to impart on me along the way, that I just kind of kept hearing those words of encouragement in the back of my mind, just to say, keep going, and it'll all work itself out. So I think for me, that's what it is. And I've always been, again, just that person of faith. Mm-hmm. That I know all I need is a little bit of faith to get me through. And so that's what it is. And I think we all find ourselves in those situations where we just, you know, we don't want to share with anybody what's going on. But I'm a guy's girl. So I know that I'm never really, walking this thing by myself. So, that's kind of the thing that's been pushing me, all my life.
Let me ask you something. When you were going through the experience, mm-hmm. of what you was going through, did you ever ask that question that many people ask themselves, and some of our listeners might be asking themselves right now, and that question is, Lord, why me? You ever ask yourself that question?
You know what? I have. I've got to say that in the past I have. It's something that I don't ask myself now.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I think earlier in my career, I found myself saying, wow. Not just why me, but why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to myself, right? Because, you know, I'm a Southern girl, came from, you know, Louisiana and started my career in Chicago, a big firm in a big city, and a little bit of a fish out of water. But I knew going in that it was going to be a grind, right? I knew just from other people's experiences, and you know, you hear folks say, oh, it's like a sweatshop and all of those things. So I knew it was going to be hard. But sometimes you hear that, and I'm just being honest, sometimes you hear that and you know, okay, but I'm about to go and make a whole lot of money, right? And so you do it anyway, and you find yourself standing in it. And it goes back to what my mentor said on day one. All of this is not that important. Sometimes the money doesn't matter, right? And sometimes you find yourself questioning something that you've done. Or sometimes, as you pointed out, questioning God, why me? Why do I have to go through this? But I think as I've matured and grown just personally, professionally, you know, I know that it all counts. Every little bit of this counts. Everything that I go through, every up, every down, every award, every setback, everything, every person that I meet along the way, they are contributing to something that's greater, and greater than I can even imagine and wrap my head around. And so I think that's what keeps me going, and that's what kind of keeps me now out of the mindset of why me, right? Now it's like, why not me?
That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, let me ask you this, Ms. Yeah. Russell. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a moment when you was going, because as I've gotten to read some of this book, and I believe it is a healing book about healing. What about those women who are listening right now, and they're trying to not only get out and speak out, but they want to heal? What would you say to them? What would you say to them right now?
You know what? I would say heal in your own way. Heal in your own way. Heal in your own time. I think that healing really requires you sometimes to just be still. I this is not part of the book, but I recently, in April of this year, I broke my ankle horribly, right? And I know you know we're just meeting today, but I'm one of those folks, like many of the women who are a part of this collaborative effort,
mm-hmm.
With the book. I'm one of those get up and go girls, right? I'm always on the move. I'm always doing things. I'm always here, always there, running. I got kids and work and all of those things. And I was leaving the house one day and literally slipped and broke my ankle. And literally I was sitting on a couch for 6 months. And I thought at the time when it happened, I said, this is it. This is, you know, going to kill my career. I've got this firm that I'm running, and it's going to die because I can't move. I literally can't put weight on my ankle. But when I tell you that that experience for me was one of those moments where God showed me just how powerful he is, and he showed me the benefit of collaborative networks and collaborative opportunities. And I got to tell you, I came out of that better. And so it's the same thing that I tell the women that you're talking about, to say, listen, you gotta heal in your own way, but sometimes you gotta stop. You gotta just be still in order to heal. Because if you're just if you're constantly moving and constantly going, sometimes you can't really see, you know, what you're standing in. And I hope that makes sense. But you know, it's that concept of moving with tunnel vision sometimes and not being able to see in the peripheral. And so I think for those women that are going through it, I would just encourage you to just kind of be still and really, you know, do an assessment of where you are and where you want to be and what the healing process for you really needs to be in order for you to get well and be well, and really do well as well. So that's what I would say.
And Ms. Russell, let me ask you this. What do you want the people to walk away with who read this book, whether they be men and don't get it twisted. Whether they be women or men, because sometimes it can happen on both sides. I know the focus here is about women and champions, but there's a lot of people who can be in those situations that might not be in the position of power, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What do you want as you go on this journey of Champions Never Tell? What do you want the people that you meet, the people that read this book, the people that hear this interview, what do you want them to walk away with?
You know what? I think the title of the book is Champions Don't Tell, but I think my message to them is champions gotta tell, right? Mm. The champions are the ones that have to step up and say, this happened to me. I know it's happening to you, or I know that it could happen to you, and let me tell you how to navigate around it, or let me tell you how to not find yourself standing in my shoes. Let me tell you how to you know, be able to utilize all of the resources around you. Let me help you, not have to go through the same thing that I've gone through, or be able to heal because you see that I've healed. It's that possibility principle where you see other women who've gone through it, and you know that if they did it, you can do at least that. And I think that's what I would tell women. You know, you gotta tell. You have to be able to express what you're going through, not just for yourself, because it's not all about us, right? This book is not all about me. It's not all about Christy. It's not all about Jill or any of the other authors. It's about what we went through and how what we went through can help some other folks.
Absolutely. And one thing I must admit, after interviewing the champions in his book, not one person said it was about them, and that's what was beautiful. Everybody said it was about what people can get from it, and that's why right. I love and wanted to interview each and every person in this project, because I think it's all, as I said earlier in speaking with one of the champions, is that it's all about your contribution. It's all about what will be here when you get, when you leave, your clothes can't help nobody. But when but your legacy and your contribution, you know what I mean? Your money, is somebody gonna fight over it? So the only thing that really, really matters is, how did you serve people?
Yeah.
How did you serve others? And if I ask you, what do you get out of serving people with this product? What would you say?
Wow. You know what? What do I get out of it? I think you just hit the nail on the head. I get the benefit of leaving a legacy. That's what I get out of it. I get the benefit of my daughter not having to be in the same predicament that I was, right? You know, because I think I'm a firm believer in the fact that our children shouldn't have to start where we started, right? They should be able to pick up where we left off. And I think this book is definitely a testament to that, right? It is a sign and a symbol to all women and girls all over the country, the world, hopefully, that you know, this is something that we went through, but it's not something that you have to go through. But if you do go through it, you got to make sure that you're passing that along, that experience, the benefit of that experience, along to others. So that, I think for me, I take legacy out of it. That's the benefit for me.
Very, very powerful. I'm telling you, interviewing all these champions in one day is like I got champion, I got like champion overload, and I love it. You know what I mean? Speaking to winners. No, you better believe it. I enjoyed every moment of these interviews, and the beauty of it is that's why I want to interview each one by themselves, because I wanted to experience, you know, your thoughts, your feelings about, you know, how, who we are speaking to, because, you know, we don't know you, but now we do. You know what I mean? We get to experience. But what I want most importantly is there is some woman who is going to stumble upon this radio program, and one of y'all going to touch them.
And even, let me say,
go ahead.
Let me say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me say this, that, and you asked what I got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I got out of it is the benefit of reading the other story. Man, you know, when you read the stories in this book, it is literally, for me, writing my story out was free therapy for me, honestly. But then you have the benefit of reading all of these other women's stories, and it literally will move you to tears some of the things that some of them had, you know, had to experience and go through. But when you look at them on the backside of this, right, you can't connect the dots looking forward. Sometimes you can only connect the dots looking back. And when you are looking back on these women's lives and seeing where they are right now, man, it will definitely you know, move you to just know that there's nothing that you can't do, honestly.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. And I think people don't realize that, you know, I always like to tell people that in every lesson, there's a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
And in every blessing, there's a lesson.
That's right. That's right.
So, you never really fail in anything. You just learn something.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
And the beauty of, you know, you champions going through these and you actually surviving, because there's a lot of people who don't survive. We see in the news all day. They let the mind get the best of them, and they go to a place where they probably shouldn't have. But you ladies have steadfast and stood strong, and now you are shining an example of what it is to go through it, get through it, and break through it. And
That's
in its own right, you know, we are humbled and thankful for all that you guys have contributed to this masterpiece, as I like to explain, because there's a lot of books, but there's very few masterpieces.
And thank you.
This is one of those. Your final words.
You know what? I think my final words would just be to all of the women out there who are struggling with where they are. Just know that there is bigger and better things. There are bigger and better things, I should say, in store for you. And I think that collaboration, just like we collaborated on this book, collaboration in your networks is so key. Right, you can't. One thing that I've learned along the way is that you cannot do this by yourself. Women always constantly talk about having it all. If you want it all, you won't be able to get it all by yourself. And so you got to connect with other strong women around you and be able to tell your story. You got to tell.
Jade Brown Russell is her name. Champions Never Tell is a contribution. And with that, Jade, we thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show.
Thank you so much. We love you guys.
Thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been an extraordinary episode. And there will be a part two, because, of course, we couldn't get all the champions on one show. It would take about 14, 15 hours. I'm just kidding. But you know,
it's the truth.
There it is, because each one of their contributions is extraordinary, And I'm just thankful for all the young ladies and champions who came on today to share their story. And make sure you go out and get your copy of Champions Never Tell. As I've often said, it's a masterpiece. It's a reference guide for the world. It's not just a book. There's many books, but this is a masterpiece. And very few books become masterpieces. Okay, this is something that will live beyond them. And this is something that can serve way beyond what they can ever do. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com, or you can check me out at BennyOnDemand.com, because it's not a game. It's a lifestyle. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. America's sexiest voice in America. Good night.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.